In the movie about Johnny Cash called Walk the Line, there is a scene in a country grocery store where Reese Witherspoon, who plays June Carter, is shopping for a fishing rod. I don't know if you've seen the movie. There she encounters a woman who has something to get off her chest. And she says, "Your ma and pa are good Christians in a world gone to pot." And Reese smiles and says, "I'll tell them you said that." But the woman is not finished. She continues. And she says, "I'm surprised they still speak to you after that stunt with Carl Smith. Divorce is an abomination. Marriage is for life." And instead of striking back, Reese simply replies, "I'm sorry to let you down, ma'am." And she walks away. In this world where we live, people accuse one another all the time, even in the grocery store. They find fault with each other. They point out fingers at each other. They condemn one another. They constantly judge others. At times, even born-again Christians do likewise. They forget that they have been called to love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. But at the drop of a hat, they jump on others and they judge them. There is a Russian proverb that says, "Never judge a man by what he says. Try to find out why he said it." William Shakespeare wrote, "Forbear to judge, for we are all sinners." Remember one thing. Jumping to conclusions rarely leads to happy landings. This morning in our text, Jesus is going to talk about judging others. We will discover that there is a right way and a wrong way to judge others. Today we will learn that we cannot condemn others. So please turn to our text. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 7 today, verse 1, as we continue where we stop. Chapter 7 is a great chapter. It deals with the right way and the wrong way to do things. It has seven parts to this chapter 7, and they're all the right way and the wrong way. The first one is two ways to judge, a right way and a wrong way, in the first six verses. Then there's two ways to pray, a right way and a wrong way, verses 7 to 11. There's two ways to go, the wrong way, the right way, verses 12 to 14. Two ways to produce, verses 15 to 20. Two ways to minister, verses 21 to 23. Two ways to build, a right way, a wrong way, verses 24 to 27. And finally, two ways to teach, verses 28 to 29. So that's what we will be studying for the next 7 weeks. This principle in the Sermon on the Mount about judging is not easy to understand. If someone in sin is corrected, is approached about the sin, because he's not obeying the Lord, his favorite response is usually, "Oh, you are judging me, brother. Don't judge me." Then the sinner continues sinning. The brother stops trying to correct, and the devil rejoices. People are constantly throwing this section of Matthew 7 at each other. And as a result, there are division within the body of Christ. People continue in their sin because no one can say anything. No one dares say anything to anyone anymore for fear of being accused of judging others. Today we are going to learn what Jesus means by not judging others. So he continues his Sermon on the Mount, and he says here in chapter 7, verse 1, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck out of your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the little speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." First of all, is Jesus saying that we are not to judge anybody, anywhere, anytime, anymore? I don't think so. Why not? Well, because I can show you 9 places in the Bible where we are asked to judge others. Right here in verse 6, the last verse we read there. "We are not to give that which is holy to dogs, nor cast our pearls to swine." How can we determine who are dogs and who are swine? We have to judge. Making a judgment is required there to know what to share and with whom. In order to obey that scripture, we have to make some kind of a judgment. Then later in verse 15, this same chapter, Jesus will say, "Beware of false prophets." Again, how can we identify a false prophet without making some kind of a judgment? God wants us to beware of false prophets. Therefore, to do that, a judgment must be made. We cannot beware of false prophets if we are not allowed to judge others. Then Jesus will say in verse 16, "You shall know them by their fruit." That also requires judging the fruit in order to know them. If we are not allowed to judge, we will never be able to identify the true from the false. Then in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17, Jesus asked his followers, the citizens of heaven, to go and tell a brother his fault if he has sinned against us. If we are not to judge, then we cannot go to our brother. We cannot tell him his fault like Jesus asked us to do. To acknowledge the fault requires judgment. In Ephesians 5:11, Paul said to the Ephesians, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Again, in order to obey that verse, we are compelled to exercise some kind of judgment as to which works are of darkness and which works are not. Then in Romans 16:17, Paul said to the Romans, "I urge you, brothers, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them." This also requires judgment. to determine who is guilty of causing division and offenses and who is not, who to avoid and who not to avoid. Judgment is required. Also, in Galatians 1:8, Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. We are required to judge what is being preached in order to discover who is to be accursed and who is not. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, but we commend you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to that which he received from us. One more time, we are forced to judge who is walking disorderly and who is not. One more time, 1 Corinthians 14:29 says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. Over and over, we are told by God to exercise judgment. And yet Jesus says here, judge not. What is the deal? Judge or do not judge? First of all, the statement cannot be interpreted as meaning that we must never judge. In order to understand what it means, we must go to the original Greek text. And the Greek language has two different Greek words for our one English word, judge. They have krino and diakrino. Close, but no cigar. They sound familiar, but they are miles apart. Krino means to condemn, to criticize, to pass a sentence, to give a verdict, to form an opinion, to conclude. Diakrino means to examine, to assess, to estimate, to discern, to make a distinction. So one is a verbal condemnation expressed outwardly, krino. The other is a mental inward evaluation to make a decision, diakrino. Two totally different types of judgment. Judgment for condemnation, judgment for identification. Two different things. Verse 1 does not forbid the right of making moral and spiritual judgment for identification. It forbids a bitter and unkind spirit of condemnation that delights in finding faults in others. Krino. Hypocritical self-righteousness has no place in the life of a Christian. So there is a need to judge in order to evaluate. But we cannot condemn. We are to judge for identification, for evaluation, not for condemnation. We are to love people enough to speak to them lovingly when they are going the wrong direction. But we are not to have an attitude of condemnation. How will we know if we are condemning people or not? If we are not willing to participate in restoration, then we are practicing condemnation. We have no right to point a finger or criticize anyone unless we are willing to help. I've seen this in your life, and I'd like to help you with this. We can correct this. To simply say something to somebody or about somebody without offering restoration is to judge in a condemning way. And Jesus is warning here against this terrible danger of condemning, pointing fingers, and pronouncing judgment. So the type of judgment then that we are not to make is for condemnation, to pronounce sentence. Why not? Because the Bible says there is no condemnation for those in Christ. Only God, the eternal judge, can pronounce sentence on people. The type of judgment that we are allowed to make is for identification, to evaluate, to discern. And it is done for restoration. It is not done for condemnation. Now, if we are going to judge someone or make an evaluation, we must be very careful. It's a touchy thing to do. There are seven ways not to do it. Number one, we are not to do it presumptuously. When we hear a rumor, we are not to accept it and judge it to be true. We are so quick to believe that people are guilty, so quick to believe the worst about them without knowing all the facts. Don't confuse me with the facts. We should not judge any person's motive. And we do that. We do so often. He only calls me when he wants something from me. She does not mean what she says. He's out to get me. How do you know? We cannot know these things. We cannot know what is in another person's mind or heart. People can do things with the right motive. So number one, we must not judge presumptuously. Number two, not hypocritically. Making a big deal over a person's sin, knowing that at times we do the same thing. We get all over the person, overlooking the fact that we do it too. Paul said, "You are inexcusable, O man who judge. You are guilty of the same thing yourself." Our sins look terrible when someone else is committing them, but they don't look so bad when we do it. So number two, we must not judge hypocritically. Number three, not rashly, not prematurely. We need to wait and make sure that we have all the facts. Jesus said in John 7:24, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." I saw his car park at her house all night long. Do not jump to ungodly conclusion. Maybe the car broke down there. Do not be too quick to judge, to condemn, to destroy a person's character without all the facts. A grocery store checkout clerk wrote to Ann Landers to complain that she had seen people buy luxury food items like birthday cakes and bags of shrimp with their food stamps. The writer went on to say that she thought that all people on welfare who treated themselves to such non-necessities were lazy and wasteful people. A few weeks later, a woman wrote to Ann Landers, and she said, "I am the woman who bought the $17 cake and paid for it with food stamps. I thought the checkout woman in the store would burn a hole through me with her eyes. What she did not know is that the cake was for my little girl's birthday. It will be her last. She has bone cancer and will probably be gone within 6 months. We never know what people are going through. We don't know what they are dealing with. No man knows the strength of another man's temptations. The man brought up in a good home knows nothing of the temptation of the man brought up in a ghetto. The man blessed with godly parents knows nothing of the temptation of the man who had horrible parents. If we would take in consideration what he had to go through rather than condemn him, we would be amazed that he has done so good considering his situation. The builders of a great cathedral made the mistake of admitting visitors while the work was being done in the cathedral. They heard nothing but complaints and criticism. They had to close the doors and admit no one but the workers only. Likewise, when we are tempted to judge people, let's recognize that God is in the process of perfecting what we now see as unfinished and imperfect. So do not judge prematurely. Exercise patience. God is still working. So number three, we must not judge hastily or prematurely. Number four, not unreasonably. That is judgment unfounded by scriptures. There are things for which the scriptures do not say anything. And yet, some are quick to judge someone who is not following their personal convictions, their opinions, even if they are not in the Bible. To condemn someone because of personal convictions, like eating meat, dancing, going to the movies, having a Christmas tree, drinking wine, is totally wrong. It is totally unreasonable with no scriptural basis for it. Religious men have prohibited things that God never did prohibit. So, number four, we must not judge unreasonably. Number five, not with partiality. There are people that we like less than others, and we are quick to judge anything we hear about them because we do not like them. We have already formed our conclusion. It is almost impossible to be impartial in judgment when we do not like the person. When the Greeks held important and difficult trials, they held them in total darkness. So the judge and the jury would not see the person at all during the trial. They were influenced by nothing else but the facts of the case. Similar to the show on TV, The Voice, the judges have their backs to the singers. They cannot be partial to their looks. It's a good idea. Only a completely impartial person has the right to judge, since it is not in our human nature to be completely impartial. Then only God can judge. So number five, we must not judge with partiality. Number six, we are not to judge unjustly or unfairly, ignoring what is favorable in them and only focusing on the bad that is in them. That is unfair. Trying to get even for what they have done before, that is unfair. Having a spirit of revenge is unjust. So number six, we must not judge unjustly or unfairly. Number seven, not unmercifully. What kind of spirit seeks to condemn another person? An unmerciful spirit, a self-righteous spirit with a feeling of superiority. When a person judges another, he puts himself above the other. And no man is good enough to judge another man. Only the perfect one has the right to look for faults in others, since not one of us is perfect but God. Not one is good enough to condemn others. We should concentrate on our own fault and leave the faults of others to God. Some are ready to believe anything about anybody as long as it is bad. We should not judge unmercifully. John Wooden, former basketball coach at UCLA, said, and I quote him, "There is so much bad in the best of us and so much good in the worst of us, it hardly behooves me to talk about the rest of us." So true. We can judge the principles that were violated, but not the person. We can judge the action, the activities, the fruit, but we cannot judge the person. That judgment is for God only. It is reserved strictly for Him. Jesus gave us three reasons in the first three verses why not to judge. Why not condemn? Reason number one, because we are going to be judged. Verse 1. Judged by whom? God? No. All our sins have been dealt with at the cross. We are going to be judged by people. If we are critical of others, pointing out faults with no intention to restore or to help them, we are going to be treated the same way. The same judgment will be thrown at us. As we have judged them, they will judge us. Reason number two, in verse 2, we are setting the standards for us to be judged. With the same measure that we use, it will be measured back to us. And reason number 3, in verse 3, simply, we are not qualified. We have a big plank hindering our vision, Jesus said. A bigger sin than the little sin that we are criticizing. So the first three verses mention three reasons why not to judge or condemn. We are going to be judged, we are setting standards, and we are not qualified. Interesting, the word that Jesus used in verse 5 implied that the speck or the splinter in our brother eye is of the same exact material as the plank or the beam in our own eye, except it is in a smaller size. Whatever sins we judge with personally are usually the sins that we see right away and we point out in somebody else. We can see it right away. We can identify with it. We recognize these little splinters easily, because they are of the same kind as our big planks that we have. If you remember the story in 2 Samuel 12. One day the prophet Nathan came to King David and told him the story about a rich man. The rich man had many sheep. When someone came to visit the rich man, instead of killing one of his many sheep, he killed the only little lamb of his poor neighbor. David hit the roof. He got extremely mad. And he said that the man who had done that will surely die. We will kill him. He judged the man and condemned him. But the law never required the death penalty for stealing a sheep. The law says restitution. When Nathan said, "David, you are the man. It is you. You have many wives and concubines, and yet you stole Uriah's only wife, Bathsheba." "Oh, let me explain. My situation is different." David condemned the man with a splinter. The one who had stolen a lamb while he had a huge plank in his own eye, having stolen another man's wife, having murdered the husband, much worse than stealing a sheep. Why was David so angry with the man he heard about? For two reasons. Number one, he could identify with the man. He had the same sin in his life. And reason number two, we are always stricter with the sins of others than we are with our own sins. Our sins in someone else looks twice bigger than in us. Every vice, every sin has two names, a flattering name and an ugly name. We use the flattering name when we are committing it, and we call it by the ugly name when someone else does it. I am in love with my girlfriend and I sleep with her. But he is a fornicator. He's guilty of fornication. They are doing the same thing. When we do it, we use the flattering name, making love. When someone else is doing it, they use the ugly name, fornication. Another thing, it is not possible to remove a small speck from someone's eye when a big plank is hindering our vision, Jesus said. Focusing on others prevents proper evaluation of ourselves. Now, Jesus is not saying that we should not try to help a brother who has a splinter in his eye. We are to deal first with the beam in our own eye. Then we will be able to see clearly and be able to help our brother with that splinter. The procedure of removing a speck out of an eye is a very difficult operation. No organ is more sensitive than the eye. But it is not really eyes that Jesus is concerned about, but souls. When we are handling a soul, we are touching the most sensitive part of the man, like the eyes are the most sensitive part of the body. What is required above everything else in dealing with it is compassion, patience, kindness, because it is a delicate job. What Jesus is saying here, we cannot help others until we get rid of our critical attitude. He is condemning the fault-finding spirit. It is hypocrisy, he said, to suppose that we can help someone with a small fault when we ourselves have a much greater fault. After talking about one type of judgment for condemnation, then Jesus switched in verse 6 to talk about another type of judgment for evaluation, for examination. We are urged here in verse 6 to exercise moral discrimination. It is okay to judge for documentation, for categorization. Christian must exercise discernment, because not everybody is what he says he is. Not all are sheep. Some are wolves in sheep clothing. So the reason for judgment here is not to condemn, but to identify, to classify, in order to be able to minister properly. As God's people, we are privileged to handle the holy things of the Lord. He has entrusted to us the precious truths of his word. A wise Christian must first assess the condition of a person before sharing the precious pearl. Is the person open? Is the person interested? Is the person seriously wanting to know or just wanting to argue endlessly? In some company, we should be silent. The term dogs was used for Gentiles, unbelievers. A pig is an unclean animal with no appreciation for fine jewelry. I've never seen one at the jewelry store. Some people have no appreciation for spiritual things. We could be exposing spiritual truth to mockery and to blasphemy. God said in Ezekiel 44:23, "Teach my people the difference between the unclean and the clean." And in Jeremiah 15:19, he said, "Take the precious out of the vial." We are not to give what is holy to dogs, nor are we to cast pearls to swine. Some people cannot accept the truth about Jesus Christ. But we can show the truth about Jesus Christ without saying a word. Jesus practiced what he preached. He had nothing to say to wicked King Herod. He refused to talk to him. He did not give what is holy to dogs. He did not cast pearls to swine. And yet, when people were seeking him, seriously, Nicodemus, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus, and many others, he never turned them away. He shared the truth with them. He gave them the pearls. How does this apply to us today? When we are witnessing, we sometimes make the mistake of trying to cram the truth of God down someone's throat. We must use discernment. Some people may not be open for it. Some people may mock the beautiful things of God, and we are not to allow that. One last thing, what does Jesus mean by tear you in pieces in verse 6? People may be unhappy with our pearls, with our witness, and may use it against us. They may go to our employer and complain and get us into trouble. "Hey, boss, he talked to me about God on the job all the time. He told me that God speaks to him. Get rid of him, boss. He's weird." We may get canned. They may seek revenge. They may turn against us. They may attack us simply because they do not like Christ. They do not like our Christian lifestyle, or they do not like our Christian witness. We are warned here by Jesus to be very careful before we give what is holy to anyone. So use discernment. So we see in our text there are two types of judgment. An evil judgment for condemnation, for accusation, finding fault, and a good judgment for evaluation, for discernment. To discern is acceptable. To accuse or condemn is unacceptable. The command not to judge include judging motive. Only God can read motive. Judging appearances. They can be very deceptive. Judging personal conviction. They can be unscriptural. Judging the way a Christian serves. We cannot judge. He is not serving us. He's serving the Lord. We are not to judge the service of another Christian. All these different types of judgments are sinful. We are not to be critical of others. We are not rashly to judge them, condemn them. But still, we must be careful how we handle what is holy. We must judge to discern. We cannot cast our pearls to swine. We must stop setting ourselves up as judges to condemn people, but we must not avoid discernment in order to do what is right. This is what Jesus is saying here about judging others. We cannot condemn others. There are two ways to judge. And you know, sometimes when people say, "You're judging me, brother," sometimes they're right, because we are judging them. We have come up with a condemnation in our mind, and you are guilty, buddy. And it should not be. We cannot do that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Leave the condemnation to God for the unbelievers. We are not to condemn anyone, save or unsaved. We have not been appointed by God. We are not qualified to do that. So if someone that you are pointing something that is wrong says to you, you're judging me, brothers, you can explain. I am not judging you. It's an observation, and I'd like to help you with this. How can I help you fix this? Your life will be better when you can fix this thing. And I'm here to help you. I want to help you with this thing. Total different picture. The person will be not responding like before. You will see that you are concerned. You really want to help. This is what we're supposed to do. The other judging, the condemning, we are not to do. But for evaluation, we are to. It's a must. We must evaluate. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May He bless you again, mothers, on Mother's Day. And may He help you to understand and to see clearly the difference between the two judgments. We are not to judge for condemnation. We only judge for evaluation in order to help someone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.